welcome to a behind the scenes of an epilogue of last season in Nepal. My name's Howell and I produced the podcast, and I'm going to talk to Tess in a moment. I just wanted to say thank you for listening and also apologise for the sometimes scrappy audio quality in this interview. We did jump together on a computer in lockdown version 2, 2020, and I recorded this on a microphone while sitting on a beanbag. Not the best studio setting. How are you feeling about this?
I feel weirdly nervous about filling in questions for some reason. I don't know. Not quite sure what's gonna come up.
This is Tess, who you know because she's been your best friend for 9 episodes. She's sitting in her kitchen. I'm sat on a beanbag in lockdown. And a lovely man called Jeremy, who runs a blog, has sent us a list of questions because he's going to put the answers on his Mountain Medicine blog. So first of all, thank you very much, Jeremy. We are grateful for any promotion. To try and get more people to, well, I am anyway. Tess is probably curling up thinking she wishes more people didn't hear this podcast.
Tess is, keep Tess, it as quiet as possible.
Yeah, not a natural seeker of the limelight, Tess, which is perhaps we'll get into that a little bit. So Jeremy sent us a bunch of questions, which we will now go through and answer to the best of our ability. So his first question is, could I start by asking how the idea of creating a podcast came about? Have you ever done anything like it before? What were your roles in the making of the podcast? And did you set off with any sort of script or plans for subjects you might cover? What do you remember of how an idea for a podcast came about, Tess?
I can hardly remember now. I think we were having a coffee and you'd first mentioned the idea of a podcast when I'd come to collect the guinea pigs after being away on holiday.
That's right.
So I get the guinea pigs from you and you said, how do you feel about podcasts or something like that?
Yeah.
And I thought, apart from listening to them sometime, I have never really given them much thought.
So I've worked in radio most of my whole life and I've done podcasts for ages and stuff. And I sort of quit radio and decided that what I would work on would be things that I was really passionate about that weren't necessarily in order to make any salary, but just to enjoy myself. And I'm always looking out for stories to tell or things to do. I like adventure as a theme. That's something that I've always kind of enjoyed. So that's the sort of prerequisite, whether it's drama or factual. And my wife and I, who also works in the media, we run a rabbit sitting business and a guinea pig sitting business. Tess had her guinea pigs with us. And one day, me and my mum and dad were building a living roof on top of the guinea pig and rabbit sheds. And Tess came to pick up her things. And what I thought was, Tess has got a really good voice. She's just got a lovely speaking voice. And she does sound like Kate Middleton. And meanwhile, I don't want to make anything about this, but I struggle with health anxiety. And at the time, I knew Tess was a GP, and I thought maybe there's something that we could create that is a kind of anxiety podcast or something around that. I wasn't sure because it's too personal and messy and you want to handle these things really well. But I basically said, let's meet up for a coffee and just have a chat about stuff and see what occurs. And then we met up for a coffee, and in talking, Tess said as well casually that she was off to Nepal for 3 months. I was like, what? And started to tell me about going halfway up Everest and treating people at altitude. And it just seemed like a no-brainer to me that, first of all, my position is always what would I want to listen to, and what I would want to listen to is anything adventurous, and if she could take us with us on that journey in some way, that would be great. So then the job for me was persuading somebody who would not normally think about doing this and would be very careful about things that she says in public, to give her a sort of crash course in audio diary recording. And in that first episode of the podcast, there's some stuff I took her into a radio studio and recorded some basic questions about the journey, about what she was going to do. But from episode two onwards, it's all tests, it's all pocket recordings. And that was your role, wasn't it? It was to press record.
Yeah.
And speak.
So I think, yeah. And all I used was, it was just the voice memos on my phone. And turns out that the microphone and speaker quality and stuff is actually pretty good on there. So that's all I was doing. Nothing fancy. Didn't even have a attachable microphone or anything like that.
Yeah, what's good about those iPhone recordings is it's like with a couple of basic tips about how not to pop into the microphone and things, it's you can get just a dead good quality. It's better than a lot of microphones anyway. So even if we weren't faced with it, it's kind of a good enough microphone to do stuff, even if we weren't facing the environment. And the way we did it was Tess would record when she got round to recording or doing her homework, as she put it. She would then upload that to a Google Drive whenever the internet was good enough, and it would land on my phone in Google Drive, and I would be going about my miserable November day driving on the M56 or whatever, and I would listen to this phenomenal journey that took me away somewhere, and it was moving and it was brilliant and it was everything, even the really boring stuff, like I don't know, going to the toilet or taking us around the everyday stuff was just so interesting. I just loved it. Like, I was such a huge fan, and I could hear instantly that it wasn't going to take a great deal of editing. And that was my role when she got back, was, or as she went along, I saved each bit into sections. So if there's a bit where she's talking about patient X, then I would save that. If there's a bit where she's talking about Machirmo, the town, then I would save that. And then afterwards, it's then an edit job of piecing those together so that you get a spread of different things. So we didn't really have any script or plans, did we? I mean, I sent you an original bunch of questions.
Yeah, so there was a few like, yeah, the introductory questions and a few prompts, I suppose, of things that maybe I wouldn't think are very interesting, but actually as someone who's not going, you know, who's not physically there, would be interesting to hear about. So just kind of little prompts on things to record. But I suppose it's important to say that I actually had no, I kind of didn't really believe that it was actually ever going to turn into anything. I just thought, Hal's mentioned about this podcast, could be fun if it happened, but actually, even if it doesn't happen, I've got the audio recordings for my own
posterity,
personal sort of diary, kind of, my own memories and a useful sort of log of what happened and also how I was feeling at the time and things like that. So I suppose that's actually probably more, you know, that's a big part of the reasons that I carried on recording during it, is that I was sort of thinking about what I'd want to look back on as well.
Yeah. And I think that's important when people perform anything, actually, is like, you can't, Tom Hanks couldn't function if he thought of the number of people who were watching him in a scene, I suppose. It's like, it's important to put the blinkers on and focus on the work and not the occasion that it might be at one point. And you just did that very naturally and honestly, and it does almost sound like you're talking to yourself, but in a good way, or like we're inside your brain, which allows us to see the world. Just very, very lovely. I'm the biggest fan of this podcast. And in terms of other scripts and plans, there was every so often I might send Tess a voice note back. There was the odd or a little document, I think. I think towards the end I sort of sent a kind of hit list going, look, if you could chat to somebody else who's in the group, or if you could perhaps take us outside to this place or do this. And there was like a little bit of direction like that, just where I thought she was getting into a groove and it just sonically things were going to sound very similar. So like outdoors sounding differently from indoors and stuff. But generally it was my role in this really was to make sure that Tess was not over complicated by anything or flooded with too much to think about, because that would have immediately had her phone thrown in a Nepali glacier, I think.
Yeah.
So here's a question from Jeremy for you, Tess. How much audio recording did you actually do? Did you have a daily routine? Could you describe the nuts and bolts of the recording process? And did it replace a written diary? You sort of already said that it kind of did do that. But did you do a written diary as well?
And I did actually. I did a written diary as well, which was quite brief, more just kind of, I think I've written it every few days or something like that, but it was more sort of descriptive, factual, what I was doing, that sort of thing, things that had happened. But yeah, in terms of the routine, I just sort of did it every few days when I thought about it. And I think it probably was more, I did it more at the beginning, and then it sort of, I kind of went in peaks and troughs where sometimes I might have been doing it every day for a few days and then not doing it for a week or something like that. And I think I was just kind of, sometimes it felt like I should record something. So I did, yeah, homework. And other times, but in fact, most of the time it was just when something interesting came up or when I thought it was something that was going on a lot. So for example, I realized that I hadn't really mentioned anything about, I don't know, for example, cold or something like that. That was a really big part of how I was feeling when I was there.
Or water.
Water, for example, yeah. I mentioned that a lot. So yeah, I think the sort of important points are things that really impacted on me, my living out there, I suppose. Things that I thought were pertinent,
yeah,
or representative of what was going on.
Yeah. Should mention as well, two things. One is obviously Tess is up for a book deal now that we know that she's written it. And number two, the water episode. If we get any bad reviews, it's when people have listened to episode 5 or whatever it is. Water. It just struck me one day that she just kept going on about water. So I thought I'd put it all in one podcast and do a dance 90s remix.
Very important.
Yeah. Writing the music was fun, by the way. That was one of my roles. Writing the music was genuinely inspired by what you were doing. I was really trying to get the tone apart from the water remix. But okay, good. Can you talk about how that was recorded and how it's arranged within the podcast? Sorry, this is you, Tess. This is your question for Howell. I do apologize.
So Hal, what were you expecting to hear when the audio arrived in your inbox, and did it differ from the reality?
Yes, I honestly, and this isn't because I have low opinions of Tess, this is because people who haven't done radio or audio before tend to go into this kind of well, hey there, you join me on Tuesday and this is Radio Tess, and I'm about to do for you a piece about the cows. People naturally go into this really weird, uncomfortable voice, and she just didn't. You just sort of right off the bat, made it just incredibly honest, and I hope just thought you were talking to yourself or me, and not thinking about talking to a large number of people, which comes back again to that idea of maybe it's not going to, you know, go anywhere.
So, yeah. I suppose in terms of the content, was there anything different in the content?
I think I wondered if more people would talk on it. And I think people are quite reticent about joining in with things because it's because you don't know, absolutely fairly, you don't know what's going to be done with it, and especially if you're a medical professional and blah, 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 blah. I think I was maybe thinking that there'd be more of a YMCA atmosphere going on in the background. I'm actually glad it didn't. I'm really glad that the only other voice we've got on there is Eddie, because I think it's a really important thing to say. And one of the reasons I didn't keep any narration in past that first episode is that what I really liked was being taken away by you. And as soon as we start narrating, or as soon as we start including other voices, it's not us. You're the protagonist. And as long as there's only one person involved, then it feels like we're on the journey as well. So it was, we could have done a lot more with production, and purposely didn't, because I think what you had was just so good that it wasn't worth messing around with, and it would have changed that intimacy, I think.
Okay. And Jeremy says that he was impressed by the blending of street sounds, music and commentary. Can you talk about how that was recorded and how it was arranged within the podcast?
In
terms of the recording, I just chose a few bits that I thought were interesting or representative of what was going on, like yak bells and busy street traffic or monsoon rain, that kind of thing. And then,
Yeah, I think that was one thing we talked about before you went, was like the worst thing we'd want to regret not capturing is some of that sort of wild track stuff, because it is hard to record something. You tend to record things in a quiet place, so often you would, because you don't want interference, but then you can lose the atmosphere of the actual geography. So it was really good that you did that. And it was great for me to edit, because I could then bring them alive. I came from a music background, first of all, and used to build songs and stuff. So I treated the podcast in the same way in terms of how I mixed it. I would use a sound if the sound was there. There may even have been a couple of cheats where maybe the yak noise was recorded a week later than it was actually used. But I don't think it was dishonest. I think we just sort of, you got lots of stuff that meant that we could enhance moments. That was really important, and then it was just kind of blending them together with a different colors on the paintbrush, I think. What impressions, this is for both of us, what impressions do you hope listeners will go away with? In fact, I don't want to answer this, I want you to answer this. What impressions do you hope they go away with? I'll answer the second part of this, but what do you want people to think when they listen to this? Or are you just I just don't want them to hate me?
I hope that it kind of is a little package of adventure and just a different experience, especially I suppose in comparison to what we're living through at the moment with the massive changes in life and our freedoms and our ability to travel and go and explore. And I suppose having that sort of contrast and remembering that all this was recorded just 12 months ago, and how massive the change has been in that time. But you know, we'll be back there, we'll be back able to do all of those things soon, hopefully. And when we are able to, we need to get back out there and do all of this stuff, not just because, you know, places like Nepal, those communities will be so massively affected by what's going on. That's two seasons now that they will not have had any trekkers into the Everest region of Nepal or anywhere else in Nepal. So sort of remembering that, I suppose, that the impact of COVID will be vast on those communities, so we'll need to go back and support them.
That is a great point.
One thing, I suppose also from the charity point of view, it was a massive blow that it was the last season for the International Porter Protection Group to be providing those providing that service at the rescue posts, and kind of remembering that although that's part of the charity's gone, Community Action Nepal is still very much alive and kicking, and will be very very much in need of ongoing funds and ongoing support. So if people feel able to donate to that part of the charity, then that'd be fantastic, really.
Please go to lowfatradio.com/doctor and you can see a link there to the charity which you can donate, which does bring us on. Oh, just briefly, any tips for those wanting to record podcasts in the remote mountain environment? Well, first of all, get in touch with me because I would love to help you with it. I'd love to do more of these. It'd be fantastic. Tess can executive produce. And yeah, it's really what we said before, to go small with it. You know, if you can do it on your phone and you can do some good practices and you can record lots of environmental stuff. I think the hardest thing to do, although what I said about Tess is true, the hardest thing to do is interview people. And that's something that I've found when I've done radio shows from the other side of the world and stuff, is what the listeners really enjoy is when you put a voice on that's got a different accent. That's something that really transports them. And if you're doing something that involves people like that, then great. This doesn't suit itself to that as much, because asking a patient how they're feeling halfway through a procedure is probably not the best move. But depending on what your project is, will depend on that. But certainly, you know, an iPhone is good enough, and having a Google Drive to dump all that audio in is more than enough. You do not need to spend any money, really, to record something. And Tess just mentioned, Jeremy's final question is, without knowing it, your podcast coincides with the final year that IPPG's rescue posts were open. Were there clues during your recordings that this was going to be the case? And do you think it adds special importance to the podcast? I want to say something before Tess does, which is, we just have to be careful with how we answer this question, because there's certainly stuff we removed from the podcast just because we want to make sure. It's quite a difficult line to walk in terms of a Western charity going in and providing a service, and then a private service has been set up that is, in inverted commas, indigenous to the place. Now, so we're very conscious about being Westerners, casting aspersions or commenting on practices that have helicopters and private clinics and things compared to a charity. So we probably would want to say more than we probably will. But in terms of what clues were happening, I think episode 6-ish, 5 or 6, was the first time that you mentioned it. So you saw a neon sign go up, basically, didn't you?
Yeah, so the private clinic that was sort of rumoured at the start of the season that we arrived into, it was rumoured that it might be coming, it might be sort of coming up whilst we were there, and then it did really very rapidly appear with a neon sign about 50 metres away from our rescue post. So yeah, I suppose that was the clue that there was a challenge, but then whether that would actually mean, you know, the final season for IPPG rescue posts, I don't think that was as clear cut. And
no, and that happened after
home.
Yeah, that was the actual, I don't know the right terminology, but the licensing, the permission to do it wasn't granted. That's right, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. So I think whilst we were there, it became more, whilst we were there, IPPG's presence in Gokyo was challenging, and then that has a knock-on effect on the Machermo rescue post. And then the basically every year the charities have got to get permission for the posts to open from the local boards. And it wasn't actually until after we got home that it was confirmed that we wouldn't be granted the license to open, kind of in favour of the private clinics that were that had opened up, really. I think that was the...
I think it did add a special importance to the podcast. The writing on the wall in a neon sign would be the title of the book, I suppose. And we could certainly sense that. I think it was very sad to hear that happen. I mean, it's not the only sad thing that happens on the podcast, obviously, if you've listened to it, but those things that happen sort of towards the back end of the podcast were both surprising and really tragic, and has brought a cloud over things towards the end, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think it affected all of us, really. Sort of feeling that the shift change, I suppose, and seeing the impact that it had on the local community who were in support of us and the other staff that were employed as well. So yeah, big effects all around, really.
It's a bit of a bummer to end on, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was your favourite thing about doing this podcast? You've hated every minute. This has been a ball around chain around your ankle for a year and a half.
It's been an interesting experience. No, I've really enjoyed doing it, but it has challenged me in many ways. It does not at all come naturally to me, and I am not someone to want to put myself out there. Or and when Hal starts talking about doing promotion and things like that, I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, getting anyone to listen to it. I'm the same, really. I am at heart an introvert, but I can't deal with criticism very well and stuff. But I would say that I would seriously challenge the statement, I am not a natural. I think you are a natural at the business of recording an audio diary. I think you're perhaps not a natural, to bring it back around to anxiety, I think you're perhaps not a natural yet at dealing with the anxiety of knowing that you're putting something out and therefore worrying about the sentence you said three sentences into episode four or whatever. Yeah. But that's normal, and that over time gets easier. But in terms of like being a podcaster, you are bloody good at it.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I suppose like to answer your initial question, it's for me, it's just, I think, being able to relive that, that trip to Nepal through listening back through the podcast episodes has been really fun, just on the editing bits and listening to it in its full form at the end. So yeah.
Yeah.
The way of extending the trip by continuing to work on something related to it afterwards.
Yeah, I think it's something we all think about when we go on holiday and stuff. You think, oh, I should keep a diary, and what we do is take photos, and they're fine. But yeah, like you say, we've sort of listened through each of these episodes with a fine tooth comb to make sure Tess is happy with everything. And even in doing that, the funny bits are still funny, and the moving bits are still moving, and it is lovely. It really does. It takes me back to driving on the M56, listening to your audio arrive. Yeah. Fantastic. It's been wonderful. So thank you, Jeremy, for asking us those questions and allowing us to do an epilogue to this podcast. I urge you to look up more about IPPG and the statement that was released when that when the whole enterprise had to end, because I think that probably says more than we can say on the podcast as well. And I'm very passionate about that. And also, like I say, go to lowfatradio.com/doctor, and there you can either support the podcast, the charity, or both. And it'd be lovely if you could check out the work of the
Community Action Nepal.
Thank you. check out their work, and if you can donate, that would be wonderful, because these charities are far-flung charities and it's not easy to raise money for things that are kind of out of our sight. So that would be very nice. Tess, thank you. Well done.
Thank you, Howell.
Survived the questioning.
Thank you.